everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John is on the other side of the glass, and he sends a hearty welcome to you, as do I, as we get ready here to launch into our Tuesday, December 21st, 2021 radio broadcast on this, the winter solstice. This will be the longest night of the year. The good news is, starting tomorrow, we'll be heading toward spring. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line and meet up with Dr. Dennis Hoffman, director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. Professor Hoffman's sponsored project efforts include the construction and maintenance of the tax revenue forecasting model that is used by the Executive Budget Office for the state of Arizona. In fact, has been used each year since 1982. Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Bill, it's great to be here. I'm doing well.
So let's start with Omicron. Everybody's talking about it. Is that going to put a little bit of a damper into first quarter numbers? What's your take?
I think it's a headwind. I wouldn't have said so maybe even a week or two ago, but there seems to be reports now of many, many breakthrough cases. We're going to have to see what hospitalization rates are. I think, Bill, that everyone is laboring through COVID fatigue at this point. And, you know, the economy's weathered the storm to date. And I think we'll continue to see what we've been seeing over the last couple of years. And that is, you know, lots of retail purchases. But Omicron could dampen our spring tourism season. It could, you know, curtail travel, some of which will influence Arizona, some of which won't. But you know, it's one more curveball in the game of the game of COVID.
Best case scenario from the folks that are watching this very closely, it looks like 4 to 6 weeks of Omicron really quickly burning through the population. We had our travel talk, our monthly segment yesterday with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, who is still bullish for 2022. So let's hope this is just a blip, Professor Hoffman.
Indeed, that is certainly the hope. And, you know, my worry would be that people are not doing the booking that they would normally do over the kind of the holiday 2 weeks, booking for spring and planning, you know, spend some days in the sunshine. We've been looking forward to a robust Cactus League season up here, you know, with the golf tournaments and baseball up here and, you know, kind of trying to get back to normal. But, we'll keep our fingers crossed on this.
How about this year? How would you characterize 2021 for Arizona's economy, and what is your forecast for 22?
Well, coming into Omicron, well, certainly the 21 was strong, and my forecast for 22 was stronger coming into Omicron, and I'm going to hold on to that. I think at this point, I think there will be many aspects of the Arizona economy that will weather this storm. I'm a little bit more concerned about the tourism aspect than I was a couple of weeks ago, but we'll see how that plans out. But it's a very strong economy bolstered by a few things. We, unlike many states, did not shutter facilities with the frequency that took place in other states. We kept a lot of things open. I think there were the majority of the sentiment in Arizona was to kind of fight through this and to the best of our ability keep business as usual. And of course, we fair caught billions of dollars from the federal government that was injected in many ways, shapes, and forms into the state. And that has allowed us to weather the storm very well. Thank you very much.
What will your report be to the Arizona legislature as they convene now in just less than a month?
Well, it's pretty much like, Bill, it's pretty much like the rest of the nation. I read a nation's report, and I think the phrase "awash with money" was used in that report, describing many of the state budgets across the nation, and Arizona's would be similar. So we have no fiscal worries for the next year or two. My concern, economists always love to worry about something. If I had a worry, it would be about our fiscal health, maybe 5 years down the road. If we make permanent decisions now that tie our hands 5 or 6 years down the road.
What would some of those concerns generally be, Professor Hoffman?
Well, tax cuts in this state are permanent. So if we were to institute another round of tax cuts in the state, it's pretty much impossible to get rid of them. And that is apparently what a number of folks, like tax cuts. When we have money in the state budget in Arizona, when times get good, people cut taxes. That tends to be what we do. Expenditures are less permanent. I mean, even if you made what appeared to be a dedicated expenditure in a certain area, like we did, let's say, in state-funded all-day K, back in 2008, that wasn't a permanent expenditure. That was gone within a year. The 10% income tax cut that we made at the same time is still with us today. And, of course, we're making more all the time.
We're speaking with Professor Dennis Hoffman up at ASU. Professor Hoffman, what's the latest number that you see for what is called the state's rainy day fund? Where is that right now?
Oh, it's in the vicinity of $1 billion dollars.
Wow.
We've studied this pretty carefully. That's a lot of money. At the same time, the rainy day fund went rapidly, in the major real estate downturn that we had in the 2008-2009 period. No one is seeing anything like that on the horizon, but unfortunately, none of us saw it in 2006 and 2007 either. Historically, Bill, when the Budget Stabilization Fund was first enacted, it was enacted with a recommendation that it was 15% of the state's budget. So that would mean that it needs to get a bit bigger than $1 billion. We'll have to see what the policymakers decide to do. They have lots of cash, that would seem to many of us as a good thing. I think for policymakers, it makes their job more challenging. When you don't have any money, the job's pretty simple.
Yeah.
When you've got money, then you've got all these decisions to make. Do we allocate additional expenditures, or do we do tax cuts? Do we make things permanent? Do we not? So those are all decisions that we're going to have to make.
All right. Before I wrap it up with you, we need to talk about the labor situation. It seems like everybody's got the for hiring sign out. What's your take?
Well, we have a labor shortage. I think the best explanation, Bill, for the labor shortage is that folks in people facing businesses have historically been relatively low paid. They're high risk in a COVID environment. And I think you've got many, many people choosing to stay home, families earning a little bit less money, but spending more time on elder care and child care and, just taking care of folks. And the federal aid has enabled that to persist for a while. But, I think families are running out of savings, especially as prices have ticked up here due to the supply chain interruptions and this unbridled, unbelievable demand for goods. You know, instead of traveling, we stay home and order off Amazon. At any rate, it's a tough situation. I think we'll come out of it. I think we'll come out of it with higher paid, low-skilled workers. And, you know, some folks will not be able to maintain employment, but those that do will be paid more because they'll probably be working beside more machines.
Yep. All right. Dr. Dennis Hoffman, director of the Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. Professor Hoffman, hope you have a lovely Christmas season. Happy New Year. We'll talk early in 2022. Thanks.
Indeed, Bill, and best to everybody down in the old Pueblo. Great talking with you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman. All right, now we want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I brought in today my favorite Danish coffee cake, which is the cousin of the Danish Kringle. And, of course, Mona's is home to the Danish Kringle. John, open up Shelley Fishman's microphone here. Shelley had a piece of that apple-filled Danish coffee cake. Shelley, and what was your assessment of that piece of coffee?
I had to be dragged kicking and screaming into, you know, having a sweet in the middle of the day. It was delicious.
Yeah, it's light and flaky.
Yeah,
and
really good. And fresh tasting. There's a certain fresh you know, taste about it.
It was certainly baked.
You don't get in baked goods.
Baked by Steve and the team. Earlier today, and John, I see John chewing a piece. He's finishing up his piece of that apple-filled Danish coffee cake. Put in your order right now if you'd like one for Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. We put in an order today for Christmas Eve over at the Buckmaster household. Mona's Danish Bakery is the website. MonasDanishBakery.com is the website. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman, not only he is now giving me two thumbs up, not only about Mona's, but a great day on Wall Street. Is it Tuesday? Could that possibly be? We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved Regional Transportation Plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocaloVillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Happy holiday season to you and yours. Okay, is this the Santa Claus rally that we have been waiting for?
No.
It is.
It is not.
Just a reaction that maybe what?
If today is a Santa Claus rally, what was yesterday? Mm. When we were down about the same amount, we're up today.
That was the tribute to Scrooge.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday. So what we have here is a market that really is kind of directionless, because every time it thinks it's feeling optimistic about where the economy is going and how we're pulling out of, you know, this pandemic from an economic perspective, we get a new variant. Mm-hmm. And that new variant, of course, now is got people kind of spooked. Mm-hmm. And with very, very good reason. Not that it necessarily means that vaccinated people will get very sick, mm-hmm. but a lot of people who are not vaccinated, and that, after all, is almost 30% of the population of this country.
Yeah, it's a large percentage,
right,
still.
I saw numbers this morning, and I don't want to quote them, but there was like a 20 times ratio between people who are not vaccinated dying, yeah, and people who are, yeah, vaccinated. I mean, it was,
it's hard to believe anybody would want to take that chance. Yeah. I mean, that's my bottom line, and I know people would disagree. There are people that would disagree with it.
You can take the chance for yourself. The problem is you don't live alone in this world.
Right, right.
And it's horrible. I support any mandate that exists for getting vaccinated. And
even giving away $100
like they're doing in New York. I guess
here's a $100 bill if you get your booster shot. That's what
do the right thing and we'll pay you for it.
So how much of this is the Fed? How much is it Build Back Better? I'm not going to say it's dead, but being derailed.
No, I think there
derailed.
Will be some legislation that
derailed
that brings the major parts of the Build Back mm-hmm. Better plan to the fore. But what we have here is an economy that is going to wind up for 2021 somewhere near 6.5% or 7% growth. We have unemployment that is going to be very near 4%. So if you take a look at where we have come in the past year, it's really staggeringly good. As your prior guest was saying, people were reserving money, they're buying things rather than services.
Yeah.
There's a very high demand. All of the things that have caused this inflationary problem, which is a problem, let's face it, especially for people who have not done a good job of saving some of the stimulus money that they got. And what we really need to see from the Fed now, and I think we will see it, is a very careful, light-handed reversal of some of their very low interest policies over the past decade, and also easing back on, as they said they were going to do, on purchasing of bonds. So what we're going to see is the Fed beginning to use its considerable quiver, if you will, of arrows that are intended to be able to stymie inflation. The problem the Fed has right now is that this is not normal inflation. This is not the kind of inflation that builds up over time and then by simply raising interest rates
It's pandemic created inflation.
Exactly. And these are theoretically temporary or more or less temporary situations on the supply side with the supply chains and on the demand side with pent-up demand and a lot of cash sitting around.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Fed does anything that is too permanent in its nature, then it's going to overshoot the mark. So Powell has to be really careful, and I think he's being really careful. Now, you know, he's looking at inflation and he's looking at employment, and he's going to see the inflation numbers are way north of where he wants to be, and he's going to see the employment numbers being almost exactly where he wants them to be. And so he looks at that and says, which, you know, how do I balance those two things? Mm-hmm. If you're an investor, you need to make some, you know, advanced guesses about where the pandemic is going, but also where other investors are going to go. I saw a fairly reputable analyst yesterday say that at this level, she thinks that the Dow is underbought and this is a great time to buy. And you know, mark this, we're only 1 or 2% off the highs.
Yeah. I mean, for the year, we're at 15, 16%.
We're about 16%, yeah, for the year, and that's in the Dow. We're higher than that in the NASDAQ.
But this consultant said it was a good time to buy?
It was a good time to buy. Hmm. Now, you know, and I say this all the time, Bill, if you're chasing the curve, you're on a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Thursday and Friday and yesterday were horrible days.
Yes, they were.
So if you take a look at that, you get scared.
Yep.
And what do? You sell.
Mm-hmm.
And then today happens, and what happens?
You buy.
Well, you buy. So you sell low and buy high. And that is exactly the opposite way you should be doing it. Now, there are strategies you can employ if you're an active investor to invest in, say, a stock or a fund, set a target for where you want that fund to be, and then put in a sell order for that stock, say a spread, to sell that stock if it goes up to where you think it you want it to see, or sell it if it goes below a certain area where you know you feel uncomfortable holding it. So there are some aggressive strategies that investors who do this every single day can utilize. But for civilians, there's nothing like that. For civilians, you have to take a look at your risk tolerance. You take a look at how old you are, what your objectives are, what your alternatives are, and you stay the course. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I used to hate when I was in my, you know, 50s and early 60s when somebody would say, stay the course, stay the course. You know, stay the course sounds like, you know, praying for good things to happen. But for most of us, if you're young, staying the course leaves you in the market, which has done better than any other investments, you know, you can imagine over the past, you know, gazillion years.
Sure.
And if you're properly invested and properly balanced as you get older, then staying the course is still the right thing to do.
Yes.
So it doesn't feel satisfying because, you know, it feels like, oh my God, things are happening and I'm not doing anything about it.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. People feel, oh my goodness, it's, all this stuff's happening around me and what am I doing? I'm not doing anything.
And, you know, sometimes not doing anything or taking a chunk of money, holding it on the side, and then waiting for opportunities to invest, you know, take a low percent, you know, invest at a certain point. If it goes up 3% or 4%, sell.
Yeah.
Then you've got cash again.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, hard to do if it's not a retirement account because you're going to pay capital gains on those profitable sales. But this is also the time of the year where you kind of harvest some of those losses and offset some of the gains. So if you're an active investor, this is a time where you're rebalancing your portfolio to take advantage as much as you possibly can of, you know, mitigating the tax effects of the trades you've placed during the year. But for most of us, Bill, the right thing to do is have a properly balanced portfolio that is appropriate for your risk tolerance and age and leave it alone.
And have a great holiday. See, try to, you know, relax a little bit. Got just a few seconds left with you, Shelley. And
Maybe we'll save it for next week, your final appearance before the end of the year, and we launch, of course, into 2022. You want to make any kind of Dow prediction, market predictions now, or should we save that for next week?
Well, I'll just give you a thought. My thinking is that the markets are a little bit overbought.
Right.
If you take a look at price-to-earnings ratios, they're higher than you would like to see them. So I'm going to start off the year saying we're going to have a flat to normal year.
Okay.
And then let's see how we move into the first quarter. Because this year has been very, very good. Yes, last year wasn't that bad, as it turned out, mm-hmm. by the end of the year. So what we're seeing is a lot of optimism on the part of the markets, and that gets contagious sometimes.
How was the COVID year, as you recall, 2020?
I'd be pulling it from memory.
But it was a good
I shouldn't do.
Good year, right?
It was... My memory is that the NASDAQ was up 40% or something.
Yeah, after, of course, a really, you know, markets just in March. Well,
2020 was
April, hitting the rock bottom. Anyway, Shelley,
again. But if you stayed the course in 2021 and 2020, you did just fine.
All right, I'm going to stay the course right now and, again, wish you a happy holidays. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are plunging into Christmas week. It is the solstice, the long night of the year. How about some color in your home, like beautiful poinsettias would be really nice as you get ready for Christmas and the holidays. I strongly suggest a visit over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. They started the season with 25,000 poinsettias that they grow there, homegrown. And they've still got some that are available for you. So be a good time to stop by this afternoon, take a look there. And then when you're over there getting your poinsettias, check out Zocalo Village, some beautiful items from Mexico, holiday-oriented items. Merchandise, the dining room sets are gorgeous, handcrafted in many cases, out of really some beautiful woods, including mesquite. So the websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, they are open daily. They're in their 51st year. The Buckmaster Show, we are going to plunge into year number 12 in January. As we wrap up 11 full years with the radio project, I'm just so blessed to have, about two dozen contributors to this radio program, folks that come by on a regular basis. One of them is Father Robert Hendrickson. He is the rector of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I worship. Father Robert is the faith and spirituality contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas. Almost Christmas. I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. I went to services at St. Philip's. I like to go on Thanksgiving Day and turned on the radio after the service. It was about just in time for to make sure the re-airing of a Best of Buckmaster Show was all set and ready to go. So CBS Network News, a variant has been found in South Africa, and I'm going, oh boy. It's not like I got off the bus yesterday, Father Robert, when it comes to the way the news media reacts. I knew the market was going to crash the next day, and I knew the way the media would react to this variant, which is turning out pretty much folks having mild symptoms if you have been vaccinated and especially boosted. Where I'm going with this once again presents a second Christmas season with some challenges.
Well, I don't think there's ever been a Christmas season without challenges, so we'll start
That's
there.
That's true, yes.
And I think that actually, you talk about the meaning of Christmas. I mean, I think one of the truths of Christmas is that regardless of what we do, regardless of how we prepare, regardless of where things are in the world, it comes. And if you want to sort of draw that message back just a little bit, sort of, there's the wonderful line in the Psalms, joy cometh in the morning. The sun rises every day. These seasons come and go. The seasons that we don't like and the seasons we love, they come and go. That's the cyclical nature of our lives. And I think that the hard thing that I'm finding in this pandemic is people are sort of, there's this hyper reaction to every bit of news. And I think all of us are just so on edge right now. And you can tell when you talk to people, there's this sort of edge, this anxiety. And I think we have forgotten sort of how to take things in stride as a people. If you were to go back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years and tell people, oh, some bad things are going to happen around Christmas, they'd be like, okay. Yeah. It wouldn't come as news, really,
Yeah, I mean, they'd be dealing with maybe the Black Plague.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's actually, there's this wonderful image, an Eastern Orthodox theologian talks about Advent and Christmas as a time when we stand in winter with the cold at our backs, looking toward the dawn for the sun to rise and warm us again. And that to me is sort of, that image always sticks with me. It's actually going to be part of my sermon on Christmas Eve. Because I think that that's where we need to be standing right now. How do we stand with the cold at our backs, this pandemic, the anxiety, waiting for the sun to rise again that we know is going to rise, and we know it's going to come, and we know it's going to bring that warmth and that joy. But sometimes, boy, you stand there thinking, is it going to happen this time? And it is.
Very appropriate comments from you, Father Robert, on this, the day when we have a long night. This is the long night. This is solstice. I always kind of like the solstice because I know when I wake up the next day that we will be moving towards spring and in many cases rebirth. And that's, I think, if you think of it that way, it can add to your individual Christmas story.
Absolutely. I mean, the in all of our lives, you know, the peaks have meaning because of the valleys, right? There's the one of the most overlooked words in the Lord's Prayer is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The people sort of blow past the through, and the through is meaningful because it always indicates that God is bringing us through those valleys to the other side, with us at all times, in all places, in all moments in our lives, even when it feels like we are in the midst of the valley. We're going to walk through it together with God. And I think that this is one of those periods where we need to focus on the through right now, that we're going to get through this.
Some have been wondering, and it's always good to bring it up, I think, every Christmas, why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th. And most Christians probably can't imagine Christmas on any other day than December 25th. But it wasn't always that way. In fact, the first three centuries of Christianity's existence, Father Robert, as you well know, Jesus Christ's birth wasn't even celebrated at all.
No, it sort of gradually evolved as a celebration. The church calendar is a bit of a mystifying thing at times. But I think what we can sort of take comfort in is that for 1,700 years it has been.
Yes.
And so when I go to, as you know, I often go to Jerusalem in January, mostly just to sort of take a break from being here and to sort of reacquaint myself with the land and the story.
You've made how many trips now over there?
Probably a dozen or
at
so,
least,
somewhere
yeah.
in that range.
Yeah.
And but the last time I had the good fortune of being there the evening, and I didn't realize it until I was there, you can spend overnight if you sort of talk to the monks who administer the Holy Church of the Holy Sepulchre. You can stay overnight there. And it happened that night was the Eastern Orthodox Christmas. And it was just glorious. And there was something quite lovely about being there. And being with another community, celebrating Christmas, and particularly celebrating one where I wasn't worrying about the sound system or I wasn't worrying about the bulletins we were printing or anything else. It was just a sort of magical to be with another community, celebrating it at a different time, but celebrating the same story, celebrating the same miracle.
Is that January 6th every year?
I was
for
trying,
the Easter?
Yeah, theirs is fixed. January 6th.
Kind of what's called, I guess, the Three Kings
Day.
Yeah,
Epiphany here.
Yeah. So it's really amazing that when you think about how Christmas started and really morphed over time, that the central theme, Father Robert, and the testimony of Christ's birth has not changed.
Right. And I think that it's easy for us to sort of, in fact, you know, I think you posted on Facebook that we were going to talk about the true meaning of Christmas today.
Mm-hmm.
I joked with my wife, well, I guess the true meaning is buckle up, sinners, Jesus is coming.
You know?
But there's this sort of wonderful sense in this season, whether one is religious or not, it is that time to sort of embrace the notion that hope is always being born in the midst of our lives. And what it takes is for us to sort of train ourselves to hope again, which is a kind of discipline in this culture. As you know, you were mentioning the sort of news reports about the variant and how those spun out. In this culture, in this time, when you consider the kind of every advertisement is geared toward telling us our lives are miserable and we need their product. Every news story feels like it's about something that's miserable. And so it really requires a certain kind of discipline to hope in this culture. And this is that time of year where we're reminded of it. You look at the stories that are so challenging, like, for example, the tornadoes that went through the Midwest not long ago. But then right after that, you heard stories of people who were rescuing people who were praying with people who were trapped under rubble. You heard stories of people holding one another and supporting one another. And that's the kind of community, the kind of hope that we've got to look toward again and again. Because if we can train ourselves to do that, then amazingly enough, I think it becomes a product of our lives. It becomes a thing we share, and it becomes a thing we become for people, a sign and a source of hope in their lives.
When we take, we'll take our break, come back with Father Robert. We'll talk about some little things that each of us can do to make this a more meaningful, perhaps stress-free holiday season as we continue on The Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with The Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show. We are so thankful for all of our great sponsors, including our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you have some time off over the holidays, be a nice road trip, only about a 3-hour drive, a beautiful area of the Southwest, and particularly the Southwest part of the land of enchantment, New Mexico. Southwest New Mexico, spellitout.org. That is the first stop. I always tell our listeners, go there first. You'll find all sorts of great ideas about how to recreate and some great places to stay. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with our conversation on the true meaning of Christmas with Father Robert Hendrickson, rector of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church and the Buckmaster Show Faith and Spirituality contributor. Father Robert, what are some small things that we could do? Maybe one of them dealing in the area of gratitude to just try to put a little more meaning into the upcoming days.
Well, all this sort of ties together, but the thing I tell people often is to turn off the TV and pick up your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, start not, and don't scroll through your phone. You know, don't start scrolling through social media to find nasty things. But to pick it up and call someone you want to reach out to, someone that you've missed, someone who could use an encouraging word, or someone whose voice you just missed. That mm-hmm. sort of sense of human connection is more important than ever. Especially now when so many people are feeling alone or feeling like they isolated, taking those opportunities to remind ourselves that we have those connections and those relationships is so crucial. And the other thing I would say is write a letter. And I don't mean sort of write an email. What I mean is get out a piece of paper and a pen and write a letter. I wrote a letter to someone not too long ago, and I was talking to someone who knows her. And she said, "Oh, so-and-so sat down on the phone with me and read me the entire letter that you wrote her." And it was just wonderful.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, that kind of
connection
is so meaningful to people. And that little extra time you take to do something like that can make a huge difference to somebody. And ultimately, I think what it gets down to, C.S. Lewis has this wonderful line about how he says that the longer I look into the mirror, the sooner the devil is speaking back. Mm-hmm. And in other words, the more we obsess with ourselves, the more we obsess with how alone we are, or whatever it is, or the more we obsess about our sort of individual struggles or whatever, the more we start to live in a world where that kind of struggle and those voices that are telling us negative things are the only things we hear. And so getting out of ourselves, serving other people, reaching out to them, finding ways to give and to be generous, all those things, those small things that are about other people, ultimately become a kind of self-care, where we begin to nurture the best parts of ourselves again. And the best parts of ourselves are relational ones. They're about being in deep relationship with people.
I was reflecting on what you were saying about Christmas and the time of year it comes. I mean, think about... And of course, it is different, I know, in the Southern Hemisphere. But if we were talking about a Christmas here in Southern Arizona that was like in the middle of summer for us, it would feel a lot different. And I think we can really play off that solstice that there is light coming. And isn't light a very important part of Christianity?
Oh, absolutely. The sun gets multiple mentions, you know, in scripture in different places. And there's the wonderful hymn, People Look East. I don't know if you know this. And the hymn goes, the people look east, the time is near, the time of joy and the time of cheer. And this is and there's also that the other English hymn, you know, in the bleak midwinter, you know, and as you point out, that may have less relevance in other cultural circumstances. But I think for us that the acknowledgement that this holiday, this time of joy comes in the midst of the midwinter, sort of literal, and I think for many of us sort of metaphysical, is perhaps part of the meaning, you know, when God comes in the midst of us as Jesus, he doesn't show up because our lives are perfect. He doesn't say, "Oh, everything's okay, so I'm going to go visit them." He actually
I'm not going to stop by this individual's.
Right,
he's got everything, or she's got everything together. They don't need my assistance.
No, that's not why. And that's not why God shows up at all, right? God shows up because things are not right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so part of the thing we can take comfort in is that same God who shows up in the midst of history is the God who shows up in our hearts and in our lives, and doesn't show up because we've got everything all together. Shows up because we need to be reminded of our reliance on God. We need to be reminded of our reliance on one another. And that's an integral part of the story.
I'm old school. I still send Christmas cards. I know a lot of people don't. It seems like I get fewer every year. But there is something wonderful. Yesterday was a particularly good day. Actually got quite a few cards. Just was something wonderful about sitting down and opening up a card and seeing a greeting.
Absolutely. But what I enjoy is when they sort of come from all over the place, and I'm one of those people, maybe I need more hobbies, but I'm one of those people who reads those Christmas letters. You know, I sit down and I read them because I want to know what's going on with people's lives. And there's something sort of, you know, again, it's that reminder of our connections. You know, all of our lives are a complex web of relationships, but they require some tending, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you think of a spider web, you know, it's beautiful for a moment, then it sort of gets blown around a little bit and some of the threads fall apart. And so I think taking the opportunity to sort of re-thread those webs are really crucial.
One of the big nights of the year for St. Philip's in the Hills is Christmas Eve. And what do you have planned this year, Father Robert?
How many services?
I mean, there was a time before you came to Tucson that in order to get into a service Christmas Eve, you had to have a ticket. At St. Phillips.
Yes, we don't do the ticketing. We don't do the ticketing. We usually get between 1,600 and 1,700 people on Christmas Eve. I suspect that with COVID and other things, that will not be as high this year. Although we're planning the same number of services. Services are at 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. Mm-hmm. And they range from a children's pageant to what you call a sort of solemn high, sort of Christ Mass, the sort of thing with smells and bells and incense and all that. And everything in between. So we are approaching this with every bit of joy that we can. So, you know, we'll have the choirs, brass, orchestra, all of that. Because I think if there has ever been a time where we have needed to celebrate, it feels like it right now. We do have some, you know, the kind of standard COVID restrictions in place. People were asked to wear masks, and there's some distancing that we have. But for the most part, we're going to proceed as if Jesus is coming, because he is, and we are proceeding as if that is something to be celebrated, because it is.
Mm-hmm. Think back in your own life how Christmas has become more and more a secular occasion and less a religious occasion. It seems like that moves a little, the needle moves a little more every year toward the secular.
Well, I think the needle is moving across the whole culture. I mean, across every sort of aspect of our lives in that way. And I think, you know, all people of faith can do is observe with sort of gentleness and generosity the traditions they've inherited and model for the world what it means to hold to those traditions. And I think, to me, the saddest thing about it all is how some of these things have become sort of cultural battle lines or fault lines. And I think that the worst things we can do is to take those traditions and holidays and make them yet another battlefield. I think all we can do is sort of live those things with love and with generosity and joy and let that be a light for the world to see. Right now, if you go to Europe or you go to some of these places and you know, churches are, you know, practically empty. And yet, when you go to England, the English cathedrals, their attendance is creeping up and sort of recovering. And so, you know, so I think that there are signs, you know, when in the U.S. there have been dry periods in terms of religiosity when very few people were religious. And there have been times.
What times would those have been?
Well, you know, if you look back to sort of the 1880s, 1890s, that was a particularly sort of dry religious period. You look, you'll find these wonderful complaints by preachers who are sort of talking about how no one has any faith and everyone's miserable and everyone only is concerned with only making money. And it could have been written, you know, it could have been a National Review editorial from 3 weeks ago.
That sounds cyclical to me. Right? I'll tell you, I hadn't really thought of it that way.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you what brings it, what I think recovers that sense of commitment is two things. One is when people experience a church that's living out a kind of transformational living where it feels like those things matter.
Right.
When those churches are active in their communities in the social life of the nation, and frankly, when people rediscover that they need it, and I feel like we may be entering one of those periods where people are rediscovering that they need that sense of community and connection and meaning and purpose that comes from being in community.
I hope that is the case. Father Robert Hendrickson, thank you very much. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much to you, and we look forward to seeing you again. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Father Robert and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, hope you have a great day. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Dave Ramsey, his very popular show on money, is next.